We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6. As I mentioned earlier, there's a red sheet if you want to follow along with notes this morning. And I think the red this morning is for the Ohio State Buckeyes. How many of you watched the game yesterday? Okay, almost everyone. I wore blue today. I'm an Ohio State Buckeyes fan, but this morning I wore blue in honor of you guys, and I even wore socks. So, not that it has anything to do with what we're, but it was a battle yesterday. There was a fight, and the only reason why we lost is because Pastor Dennis wore an Ohio State Buckeyes shirt last week. So, I don't know where he is. I think he's hiding. He was texting me about not even coming today. So, I don't know if he's here. I don't see him. I think he really is hiding. But anyways, that has nothing to do with what we're talking about today, but it is something that's relevant within our Michigan culture. And so, today, you know, we're diving back in Ephesians chapter 6, and specifically looking at verse 17 and just continuing the series here on being ready to rumble, and this is part four. And I told you guys last time that I'd only been personally in two fights my whole life, and one of those was when I was in high school. It was in gym class, and there was a kid, I won't name his name, but he came behind me and attacked me and was, you know, trying to fight me, but most of the other kids around pulled him off. He was really mad at me. I might have antagonized him a little bit, which I should not have done, but then he was mad. So, like, preparing for fights was not something that I did a lot of. It wasn't. And then my senior year of high school, actually I think it was my junior year of high school, I was man marking a guy in a soccer game, and that guy got really mad at me, and he attacked me from behind, and eventually both teams, oh, Pastor Dennis is here. He has on blue also. Where's your Ohio State shirt? Okay. It's in retirement for next year. So, anyways, good that we can have fun together. But, so I hadn't prepared a lot, you know, for fighting, and that's never my goal. I would never be interested in a fight, in boxing or UFC or any of that kind of stuff, but in the spiritual life, we are in a fight. And it's not something that is fun, but it's something that God encourages us to step up, to be ready. In verse 11, it sets the stage for the section because it tells us to put on the whole armor of God, that we are to stand against the wiles, the schemes, the strategies of the devil. Because he walks about as a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. That could be you. That could be me. You know, one day we might be perfectly fine. The next day he's devouring. He's coming after us. He's setting schemes. He's looking. And our job is to resist and to stand firm. We're to be faithful and consistent and steady in our walk. As professing Christians, we need to stand firm. We've seen it in our lives. I've seen it. I've been a pastor now for 25 years, and I've seen it where people within the church walk away. They give themselves over to the cares of the world. They're living just like their unbelieving neighbors, and that could be you and me. Very easily. And so today, as we look at Paul's admonishment to put on the whole armor of God, we need to prepare for the battle. We need to be ready. And so I looked up on YouTube, since I've only been in two fights, or I looked up on the internet how to prepare for a fight in seven steps. Number one, if you're going to fight, learn from the best. We have the Word of God. And we're going to look at that today in verse 17. Number two is to train like there's no tomorrow. I think that's really fitting for us as believers. We need to train like there's no tomorrow. We're in a fight. Number three, master your technique. In our spiritual life, we need to master our techniques. We need to know and be prepared for the battle. Number four, analyze yourself. We need to know our weaknesses. We need to know where Satan could come after us, to tempt us. Number four, know your opponent. We need to know who Satan is. And many times, one of our very first opponents is ourselves. Because the Bible says that we battle our flesh, that we are sinful in and of ourselves. Number six, to maintain a healthy diet. We should be in the Word, partaking of the Word. Number seven, to get good rest. If you're going to fight, you also, I think that's also good for us physically to make sure that we're getting good rest, to make sure that we're resting in Christ. And we're going to talk about that tonight or today. So our main idea has really been the main idea throughout this whole series. We are to fight in God's power with the armor of the Lord. We're to fight in God's power with the armor of the Lord. So this morning, our first point is to arm yourself with the helmet of salvation. In verse 17, it says this, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Today, we're really just going to have two simple main points. Number one is to arm yourself with the helmet of salvation. We see that in Ephesians 6:17, the second word of most translations here is the word take. This word here is a command. The word take parallels another command, which is in verse 17, and that word is to stand. A lot of the other phrases are not commands. They look like they are, but they're not. But the two commands that are in this passage are to stand and to take. And so the word here, to take, means to receive. So the idea here is it's yours for the taking. If you are a child of God, it is yours for the taking to arm yourself with the helmet of salvation. We're to take our salvation with us everywhere. Now, one thing in our world today is that oftentimes people are trying to get us to leave our faith at the door. I would encourage you not to do that. That's the opposite of this idea here. Do not leave your faith at the door, as many people in our culture are encouraging this or trying to get us to do that. But we're to take, to receive a command here, to take the helmet of salvation with us. What is the helmet of salvation? Well, the helmets of the New Testament era, they were made of thick leather that were covered with various types of metals. Oftentimes, they would have a visor on them to protect the face. And the Roman soldier specifically wore a helmet that was made of bronze and had cheek pieces that would hang down. Many of you have probably seen pictures, maybe in a, or even a, in a museum or something you've seen. That's kind of where I can kind of picture one of these helmets. But when we think about this, it was for to protect their head from injury. And I started thinking about our culture, all the helmets that people wear today. Football helmets, like we saw yesterday. Even car racers, motorcycle guys should wear helmets. Hockey players, men's lacrosse. I don't know why women's lacrosse does not wear helmets, but I think they should. Even bikers now wear helmets. People that skate, firefighters wear helmets. Baseball players, when they're up to bat, they wear helmets. All they're trying to do is to protect their skulls and brains from damage and hurt. In our culture, there's lots of head injuries because people don't have helmets on. The four top head injuries are concussions, contusions, a bruise on the brain. Number three, bleeding on the brain or even a skull fracture. And you'll hear of people oftentimes that maybe fall and one of these four things might happen to them. So the mind and the body connection is the link between a person's thoughts, their attitudes, and oftentimes their behavior, and sometimes even their physical health. So protecting the head is really, really important. So when we bring this to a spiritual level, we need to protect our heads, our thinking. Sometimes as believers, we lose our heads. Maybe it's anger. Sometimes we think irrationally in the areas of our salvation. Philippians chapter 4 challenges us in the area of meditating and thinking. It says, finally, brothers, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is honorable, whatsoever is just, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Verse 9, it goes on, it says, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Mentally, in the area of our salvation, I would encourage you to think on things that are lovely and pure and true, and meditate on these things and practice them. And the Bible says that you will have peace. Remember here specifically that this passage in chapter 6 is written to believers. When you go back to verse 10, it says, finally, my brethren. So this passage here and this specifically, verse 17, is not really encouraging, you know, to receive Christ for salvation for the first time, though that does happen in all of our lives. This is specifically referring to believers that have already accepted Christ, that are already in the midst of the battle. Now, this morning, if you have never accepted Christ, my prayer is that you would personally receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. When you do, you will be in a battle, just like all of us. And we're to take up the armor of God. The next question I want to answer is, why do we need the helmet of salvation? Should be pretty obvious, but we need the helmet of salvation because we're in a fight. We are in a fight. And one of the things that I want to remind us of today is that we're in the midst of this fight. Have you guys ever heard the phrase, life is tough, get a helmet? I looked the phrase up because I heard it before, and it was in like some TV show. But I've just heard it. The type of helmet that we need to take with us is the helmet of salvation. And we need to take it wherever we go. Our salvation as Christians is the foundation of our beliefs. It is the basis of our growth through the power of the Word of God and through the indwelling Spirit that is inside of us. The spiritual warfare against our salvation could come in many packages of defeat as believers. Listen to this quote by John MacArthur. It says, the fact that the helmet is related to salvation indicates that Satan's blows are directed at the believer's security and assurance in Christ. The two dangerous edges of Satan's spiritual broadsword are discouragement and doubt. To discourage us, he points to our failures, our sins, our unresolved problems, our poor health, or to whatever seems negative in our lives in order to make us lose confidence in the love and care of our Heavenly Father. You know, we can just know that Satan is out to attack in all of these areas. He wants us discouraged and defeated with no hope. He will often attack our weaknesses. So our salvation with relationship with Christ can often be linked to our thoughts, our attitudes, our behaviors, and our physical health, rather than the facts of Scripture. Oftentimes we look at those things that are happening in our lives, and we look at those rather than what God says in His Word. So this morning, I want us to focus on God's facts rather than fiction that arrives in our hearts and our minds. We need to speak and live in truth in the area of our personal salvation. You know, God changes us through the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Are you allowing God to reign supreme in your thoughts, your actions, and your behaviors? This morning, I want to encourage you to allow God to control your thinking and your feelings and rest in facts of God's Word. Satan is trying to get you to doubt. He's trying to cause you to be discouraged so that you do not rest in Christ. This is one of Satan's biggest attacks on believers. Believing lies. Don't fall for it. In my younger years, when I was, I don't remember exactly how old I was, I just remember I doubted a lot my salvation. And one of the things on the other side of the doubt is that I desired complete assurance of my salvation. I doubted, but I wanted assurance. But as I continued to grow in my confidence of Christ, I realized that He was the one that was holding me secure. It wasn't based on me. He has the facts that secure my eternal salvation. Our almighty, holy, righteous God is more than capable of holding my salvation secure, and He is capable of holding your salvation secure. The helmet is used for safety. I believe one of the strong attacks of the devil, as I mentioned before, is discouragement and doubt. The devil wants us to shred any assurance that we may think we have in Christ. To discourage us, the devil points out our failures, our sins, our shortcomings. The devil points out all the problems in our lives and wants us to focus on those things. The devil attacks and tells you that you're not good enough, that you're not going to heaven. You have too many sins. You have made too many mistakes. You are not worthy of God's love. You cannot be what God wants. But here is the thing. You're not good enough. I'm not good enough. That's the whole point. If we were good enough, then our Lord would not need to send His Son to die for our sins. The helmet is used to remind us of our hope that we do have. Really, we are not worthy of salvation, but it's by God's grace. Our assurance and our hope is not based on us, but based on God. 1 Thessalonians 5:8, it says, "But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation." Put on the helmet of salvation because it is your hope. In John chapter 10, verse 27 through 29, it says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will not perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hands." God wants us to believe His promises. He wants us to believe His complete an almighty power, His goodness, His truth, and His ability to keep us saved. That's what we're to do here on earth. But there will come a day where our faith will be sight. We'll spend eternity with Christ. One of the things that I want to remind us of today is that our fight is temporary. The Bible says that our life is a vapor. You're probably, and you could be, right in the middle of a fight, because that's just what happens. But keep in mind that trial, that struggle, it's temporary. If you would, please turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. I want to read a passage of Scripture. Keep your finger here. Also, we'll be right back to Ephesians chapter 6. First Peter chapter 1, we're going to read verses 3 to 9. This passage here is all about our salvation, which relates to the helmet of salvation and the fact that our God can hold us and secure us in our salvation. And as we're commanded to take on the helmet of salvation. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and undefiled, kept in heaven for you." Claim that promise. "Who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, that now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that perishes, that is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." What an encouragement, what a passage of assurance for us, that Christ holds us, that he's with us in trials and struggles, when our mind and our thinking says one thing, the truth of the Scriptures say the opposite. There's a song here that we sing a lot called "He Will Hold Me Fast." I want to read the words. It says, "When I fear my faith will fail, Christ will hold me fast. When the tempter would prevail, he will hold me fast. I could never keep my hold through life's fearful path, for my love is often cold. He will hold me fast." The chorus is just a reminder. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast, for my Savior loves me so. He will hold me fast. Verse 2 says, "Those he saves are his delight. Christ will hold me fast. Precious in his holy sight, he will hold me fast. He'll not let my soul be lost. His promises shall last. Bought by him at such a cost, he will hold me fast." Verse 3, "For my life he bled and died. Christ will hold me fast. Justice has been satisfied. He will hold me fast. Raised with him to endless life, he will hold me fast till our faith is turned to sight when he comes at last." Praise God. We can take the helmet of salvation and be secure in him. Live and rest in Christ. Let's move to our second point. arm yourself with the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. What we see here happening is that this piece of armor switches from the defensive to the offensive, but also has defensive aspects to it. So in verse 17, it tells us to take the helmet of salvation. And then in the second part of the verse, it says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This offensive weapon that we have is really important to our growth. It's the Word of God. We need the Word of God. We need a lot of the Word of God. We need the Word of God all the time. And I'm afraid that we don't get enough of it. We could be starving because we're not feeding ourselves enough. When a new Christian accepts Christ, one of the things that they oftentimes do is begin to read the Word and begin to develop maybe some habits in their lives to spend time in the Word. But there's times throughout our lives where we can get to the point where we're not feeding ourselves spiritually, and the only feeding that we're getting is from other people. I think there's really a two-sided coin to this feeding. We should be feeding ourselves spiritually, reading the Word, being involved in the Word, and there also should be times where other people are feeding us. We need the Word because in Hebrews 4:12 it tells us that it's a living, breathing Word of God. It is God's authoritative word to you, to both Christians and to the church. In Hebrews 4:12, it says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. The Bible was written approximately 40 different writers over a period of 1,600 years, in 12 different countries. There are 66 books that make up the Old and the New Testament, and it's unified in its teaching and message all throughout. It is not man's opinion, but it is God's word, and God specifically used and instructed and guided the writers through the power of the Holy Spirit as to what they should write down in the Word of God. In 2 Peter chapter 1, it says, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. We have a book here that is powerful. It changes lives. When I look at my life, it's changed me. When you look at it, I'm sure it's changed you. God's word is inspired. We see that in 2 Timothy chapter 3, that all Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God, that's us, that the people of God may be complete and mature and equipped for every good work. In our study of the armor of God, we see how critical it is to have and use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. In Romans 10:17, it tells us that faith comes from hearing, and from hearing the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 4, we're told there that we're to live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. In chapter 4, this is Jesus speaking, it says, but he answered, he was talking specifically to Satan, it says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Without the Word of God active in our lives, we cannot put on the belt of truth. We will not live out in righteousness. We will not be ready. We will not take up the shield of faith. And we will not take on the helmet of salvation. because we only learn these things through the Word of God. Without the Word of God, we would not even know that there is armor that is given to us, and that's where we're to stand in God's strength. The Word of God empowers us to stand against everything that Satan throws at us. And so as believers, we should be studying the Word. We should be memorizing the Word. We should be meditating on the Word. We should listen to preaching. We should have a combination of listening to other people impart truths of the Word and us personally feeding ourselves through personal Bible study and listening and being a part of the Word of God constantly. But I'm wondering at times if we're so busy that we neglect the very gift that God has given us, the very offensive weapon, the Word of God that He has given us. In Psalm 119, it tells us, I've stored up your words in my heart that I might not sin against you. This is the attitude we need toward the Word of God. It is a tool of success for us against Satan. The Word of God provides us what we need to be strong in the Lord and to repel the attacks of the devil. Not only this, the Scripture teaches us that the words that God has spoken, which rest in your hands, are your very life. Deuteronomy 32, it says, take to heart all the words by which I am warning you today, that you may command them to your children, that they may be careful to do all the words of this law, for it is no empty word for you, but your very life. And by this word you shall live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to possess. The Word of God, we need more of it. We neglect it. We need to make sure that we don't do that, because if we're going to stand in this fight, we have got to take the weapon that God has provided us, and we are to know it. We are to live it. We are to be listening to the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, it's the passage where Satan is tempting Jesus. And Jesus goes back three times, and he specifically quotes the Word of God right back to Satan. He would say, it is written. And then he would just quote, it is written. And then he would quote Scripture. This is Jesus that did that. And you know what Satan did? The exact same thing. He tried to use the same exact thing. And Satan said, it is written. And he tries to take Scripture out of context and quotes it right back to Jesus. I want to challenge us today that we would put down our phones, talking to myself, we put down our computers, we need to put down our TV remotes, or whatever is a distraction in your life that comes in the way of you spending time with God in His Word, and this week you would even make that more of a priority. If we're going to stand in the fight and be strong in the power of God's might, we have to take up the helmet of salvation. And we also need to take up the Word of God. So the question that I have for us today is, what hindrances are keeping you from spending time with the Lord in His Word? What lies are you believing about your salvation? What areas of truth do you need to embrace that God is sharing with you and that you know, but sometimes you just push it aside and believe your ideas instead? George Mueller was an evangelist. He also was an orphanage director who lived in the 1800s, and this is what he said. The vigor of our spiritual life will be in exact proportion to the place held by the Bible in our lives and our thoughts. I solemnly state this from the experience of 54 years. In Joshua chapter 1, it says this. It says, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Are you prepared for the battle? Are you taking up these pieces of armor that God has given us? The helmet of salvation, take it and wear it. Let it adjust your thoughts and your thinking to think in truth. This morning, are you taking the Word of God seriously? Are you spending time in His Word? Are you allowing it to control your heart and your mind and your thinking? That's what we need to do to be prepared for the battle. Let's pray together. Father, we're so thankful today for the freedom that we have to gather and the freedom to be able to share your word and the freedom that we have every day to open your word. Father, help us not to neglect what you have given us, such a great salvation. Father, I pray those that are here today that are struggling in the areas of assurance of their salvation, Father, help them to rest knowing that you can hold them secure in their salvation, and that they would take up the helmet of salvation. Father, help us as a church to be even more hungry for the truths of your word, that we would be serious students of your word, that we would long to seek you through the scriptures, and Father, that our time with you would challenge us, would help us, would strengthen us to grow stronger and more mature in you. In Jesus' name I pray.